If you were here last Sunday, you will know, you will remember that when last we met, Saul, son of Kish, Saul, a humble young man of Benjamin, had been chosen by God, anointed by Samuel, and acclaimed by the people as the first Israelite king. Saul was a ruler filled with the Holy Spirit, who with his son Jonathan defeated Philistines and Amalekites. There came a time, however, and yet another, when Saul fell irretrievably, irredeemably out of favor with Samuel and God. The first time was while waiting at Gilgal for Samuel to arrive and offer sacrifice. Samuel had said he would be there in 7 days, and the 7 days went by, and Samuel didn't show up. And so Saul grew impatient, and he finally offered the sacrifice himself. This was strictly forbidden. He was no priest or prophet, but merely king. And when Samuel finally arrived, more than a week late, he was absolutely furious. Saul was remorseful. He begged to be forgiven. But Samuel told Saul that because of his sin, his rule would fail, his kingdom would fall, and his sons would not inherit his crown. And there came another time. Saul was told by Samuel that when victory was won over the Amalekites, every human being, every man, woman, and child, and every animal of livestock was to be slaughtered as kerem, the Lord's war booty. But when Samuel came to the scene after the battle, he heard cattle mooing and sheep baaing because Saul had been afraid to tell his soldiers that they could not have them, and they'd save the finest livestock for themselves. Worse, though, when Samuel introduced Saul to his new friend Agag, king of Amalek, that was the absolute final straw. And so in a towering rage, Samuel hacked Agag to pieces, and then he stalked away and never saw King Saul again. No doubt you will be offended by God's apparent lust for human sacrifice and thirst for blood victory. It is disquieting, I grant you. An Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann, speaks of divine megalomania and godly insecurity. But you see, those were the ways of the ancients when they and God were young together, just getting to know each other and not really understanding each other. It was a terrible story, but we do not have to approve. It's just the way it was. Why didn't you hear about it? Well, the framers of our lectionary are squeamish about these things, and they do not have us read bloody unpleasantries in church on Sunday morning. So leave it to the preacher to tell you about it. But the listener in the pew reasonably hears today's lesson and wonders why, after such a good start last week, Samuel and God are so down on King Saul. And there's the reason. Expected to be a tough warrior king, he was a disappointment. He was a farmer. He was a shepherd, not a soldier. You know a lot of the story. As King Saul aged, he was troubled with mental problems, emotional stress, exacerbated by the disapproval of God and his prophet, his Ayatollah. And if you think President Ahmadinejad of Iran has problems with Ayatollah Khomeini, then read about Saul and Samuel. Samuel was judgmental and he was bad-tempered. People were afraid of him. King Saul was suspicious and jealous and running scared. And there's more. I did not tell you this before, but one day after he was anointed king, Saul went missing, and his people went out looking for him, and they found him hiding in the baggage, too timid to face his destiny. But when he had been chosen, when God had chosen him and Samuel had told him, he was stunned, he was appalled. Some of his own people who knew this young fellow asked, how could this man possibly be king? And they refused to honor him. But showing his timidity, he was too nice to do the kingly thing that was expected and have them put to death. Saul was shy and self-conscious of his humble roots, and he had an inferiority complex. If you read his story, it'll come through very clear to you. Someone said, nice guys finish last, and Saul was the original nice guy. When the going got tough, he fell on his sword and committed suicide. The Marines are looking for a few good men, but not Saul, son of Kish. And so today, God and Samuel replace him as king with the youngest son of Jesse, David the shepherd boy, who will in fact turn out to be the Lord's all-time favorite and the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's turn to the gospel now and talk about mustard seeds. Looking back in my own life to the summer of 1976, Linda and our children and I moved from Washington, D.C. to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It was a tiny thing, noticed by nobody but us. But the very first Sunday we were there, we went to Mount Calvary Episcopal Church, and I've told you in the past why we went there. We went there because Linda liked the building. It had a red door, like Episcopal churches are supposed to have. And we arrived just as a processional hymn started, but the rector got out of procession, and he came over and greeted us, welcomed us. And then later during the piece, he made his way down the aisle, greeting everyone warmly. When he got to us about two-thirds of the way back, he said, "Peace, Tom. Peace of the Lord be with you, Linda." He remembered and greeted us by name. It was only a mustard seed, but our search for a church in our new town ended right then and there. In time, of course, and I've told you this story before, I've shared this with you, it was that rector and the congregation of that parish who picked up on my vocation, my call from decades earlier, and hounded me into seminary and to the priesthood. Peace, Tom, a mustard seed that changed our lives forever. You heard the gospel. As I read it in Mark's gospel this morning, Jesus is telling parables about how the kingdom sprouts and grows from things people do not realize. About how God's kingdom grows from insignificance. You may have been nice to someone. You spoke a kind word to a child. You smiled and waved at someone who was sad or having a bad day, and you didn't know about their bad day, but you were pleasant to them. You put a dollar in the Salvation Army kettle at Christmas. Something wonderful happened, something you never knew. That's how the kingdom of God is planted and grows. That's what Jesus is talking about when he's teaching about mustard seeds. The kingdom of God is kindness spread upon the earth, one smile at a time. The kingdom of God is hearing the good news that at death, life is changed, not ended, and that there is reasonable and holy hope of eternal life with those you love. The kingdom of God is a church such as this, where people care about each other and are kind to each other. The kingdom of God is a free hot meal for someone with nothing at home to eat and pleasant company when there's nobody at home to talk to. If you have helped with supper at Grace, then you have had a glimpse of the kingdom of God, because that's what that is. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Well, what parable shall we use? The kingdom of God is like a can of Vienna sausage that you bring to church and toss it in the basket out there in the front area, and it gets put into a backpack loaded with food for a child to take home for the weekend because there's nothing to eat there. And all you brought was one little can of food, a mustard seed, you see? I want you to see this morning, if you never understood Jesus' eccentric mustard seed parable, understand it now, understand it today. The kingdom of God grows out of insignificance, kindness that you commit. The kingdom of God may be compared to a tiny mustard seed. One man in human history gives his life for the salvation of the entire world, that all humanity might be saved through him. That is the gospel. He dies for no reason but loving kindness. And from that bloody cross and that early Easter dawn, the kingdom of God is opened to all who put their trust in God's grace and love. With what may we compare the kingdom of God? What parable may we use to show it? The kingdom of God sprouts when someone invites you to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and welcomes you into the household of God. The holy water of baptism is a mustard seed from which the kingdom of God is meant to grow. Remember that as the water touches you this morning, because I fully intend that you get a little bit wet. The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented, Stuart.